Kids, welcome to what we sometimes call big church here today. Kids, can I just get a wave from you guys? Can I see where you are? Yes, or wave your shakers. Shake those shakers. Yes. So good to have that as part of worship. Thank you. Kids at heart, you are welcome here too as well. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ben Fredrickson, and for one more day, I have the privilege of being the pastor of Care Ministries and Young Adults here at North Langley. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of the amazing volunteer leaders that I've had the privilege of serving with over the last 8 years in this role. It's been so amazing and humbling to work with all of you. So thank you, whether you're serving in young adults or seniors, our Living Well mental health support group, our bereavement journey group, Freedom Session, and our spiritual care volunteers. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do to serve our church. And I will miss you. I will miss working with you. Some of you may be wondering, what are you doing after tomorrow, Ben? Well, I'd love to invite you to find out. You should come to our fourth campus interest meeting. It's happening right here at Walnut Grove on April 9th at 7 p.m. And you are all welcome to come and find out more about that fourth campus. Okay, kids, I have a question for you as we start today. Don't be shy here. Can you tell me what a sheep says? Bah, yes, I had someone trying to throw me off back there. As a dad of three young girls, I have had lots of opportunities to practice my animal sounds reading books with my girls. Those are some pretty good sheep noises. I feel like we could do a little better, though. Kids, let's try that again. Let's do your best sheep noise really loud. Ready? One, two, three. Yes, that's it. That's better. Well, today's message is about sheep. Well, sort of. It's actually about shepherds and sheep and the relationship between them. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And my main point today is Jesus is a good shepherd who we can trust with our whole lives. Just before I keep going in my message here today, if there are any stray middle schoolers who are like, how did I end up here? I was supposed to be in middle school youth this morning. You may still just sneak out those doors and head to middle school youth because middle school youth is happening today. And it's okay. You can just sneak on out right now. That's all right. Or you can stay. You're welcome here too. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. But when we hear the word shepherd today, most of us don't really have a lot of context for what that means, right? Outside of maybe a few hobby farms or petting zoos, we don't really see sheep very often. And our mental image of sheep and shepherds is likely very different from Jesus' context. I think I have a picture up here of one of my girls feeding a sheep at Derby Reach. There's a little sheep farm right there along Allard Crescent. Some of you have maybe walked there from Derby Reach before. It's a great little spot just to go check out the sheep, especially in springtime when the lambs are born. Super cute. But this is not the context that Jesus was talking about with shepherds. We're going to have to fill in some of that original context for him to understand the image. And when Jesus is using this image of a shepherd, he's tapping into this long tradition in Israel's history throughout the Old Testament. Many of Israel's leaders were actual shepherds, people like Moses and David, who wrote Psalm 23. And that image of a shepherd is often used as a metaphor for leadership, both good and bad. So when you hear Jesus say, I am the good shepherd, he's also saying, I'm the good leader. I am a leader you can trust. I think our world is desperate for good leaders. Leaders who we can trust. Leaders who won't let us down. Leaders who genuinely care for the people that they lead. Sadly, I think our world is littered with examples of bad leaders. It's probably easier to name those than the good leaders these days. I could start listing them, but it would get pretty depressing. I would offend half of you right away and all of you by the end of the list, so. But I think all of us have this need to be led, right? To be led by someone who knows us, who cares for us, who wants the best for us. We long for a leader who we can trust, who will guide us well. People will do anything almost for a leader that they can trust, whether it's in sports with their coach, in politics, or religion. Kids, maybe you have a teacher or a coach in your life who is a great leader. Youth, I know I just sent some of them running right now, but youth, if you are here today, maybe you have an amazing youth leader right here at this church. When I think about good leaders in my own life, I've been blessed with lots of good leaders that I've been able to follow. But I think of one particular example from high school, my track coach. And his nickname was T. Everyone just called him T. It's a pretty cool nickname. We would do anything for T as his track athletes. And T cared about us as people, not just as runners or jumpers, right? He cared about us. And that's part of what made us want to work hard for him. So he pushed us hard in practice, but we would do that because we knew that we could trust him. We knew he wanted the best for us. And we could talk to him about things that were going on in our life as well. It wasn't just about track. Having the right leader, the right shepherd to follow is so important. So Jesus says here to his audience 2,000 years ago and to us today, I am the good shepherd. Follow me. Follow me and I will give you rest. Listen to my voice and I will guide you in good paths. Trust me and I will provide you with green pastures and still waters. Put your hope in me and I will never leave you or forsake you, even in the darkest valley. Follow me and goodness and mercy will be your companions wherever you go. Follow me and you will live in my house forever. Jesus is the good shepherd who we can trust with our whole lives. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you have the words of eternal life. And we want to hear your voice today. We long to hear your voice. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are open to hear you this morning. I pray that you would speak through me to all of us gathered here today, from kids all the way up through grandparents. Thank you that you know and love each one of us. Amen. Well, I'm going to read our full passage now from John chapter 10. It's verses 11 to 18. You are welcome to follow along on the screen if you like, or if you brought your Bible with you, you can follow along in your Bible. So John chapter 10, starting at verse 11, which is about a third of the way down. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the sheep. And I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Well, did you notice there in that passage that Jesus says two times, I am the good shepherd, and he gives two different reasons. And in our message today, I just want to focus on those two things that show how Jesus is a good shepherd, a good leader who we can trust with our whole lives. The first, in verse 11, he lays down his life for his sheep. And the second is, he knows his sheep. If you've been here the last couple of Sundays, you will know that we're in a sermon series simply called Jesus. We're focusing on the seven I am statements from the book of John. Seven things that Jesus claims about himself. Okay, kids, I'm going to need your help again on this one. We are going to go through all seven of them and see if we can remember them. There's going to be some slides up there and you can help me read them, okay? You guys ready? All right, number one. I am the bread of life. Get that one up? Yeah, there it is. Okay, number two, you guys can read together with me. I am the light of the world. Three, I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Okay, we're gonna pause here. The next one is your memory verse. If you're in kids ministry, you had a memory verse this month. And it's John 14, verse 6. I wonder if there are any kids here today who can remember that verse. And maybe some kids volunteers and maybe their parents who can help them with that, okay? Let's see if we can say it together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, my daughter Winter came home a couple weeks ago, and she said, my memory verse is this, and she just quoted it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. You would think me as a pastor, I would have taught her that, but no, she learned that from kids ministry volunteers and leaders. So thank you, kids ministry. We've got two more to go. Number six, I am the true vine. And number seven, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, thanks, kids. Last Sunday here at Walnut Grove, Pastor Janet preached on Jesus being the door for the sheep, right? The only way to salvation, to true life. And she did a great job of explaining the context for shepherds in the time of Jesus in the Middle East, how they would have to build this enclosure, right, with rocks, maybe make a rock wall or have these thorn branches that they would line up and for the sheep to sleep at night to keep them safe from predators. And then there would just be one narrow little gate, one opening actually, where the shepherd himself would lie down at night to protect the sheep and to guard the way in and out. Well, if you missed last Sunday, maybe you were somewhere fun on spring break like Ryan, or you just need a quick review, let's talk a bit about shepherds and sheep in the Middle East. Okay, first of all, again, we have to get rid of that romanticized image of the little lambs frolicking in the green grass at Derby Reach or wherever else you may be thinking of right now. We're not talking about James Herriot stories from the lush dales of Yorkshire, England. Sheep herding in Palestine and Israel is vastly different. It's a desert environment, right? Shepherds have to actually lead their flocks to find water and grass every day. It's a dangerous place, and in Jesus' time, there would have been predators like wolves and lions and bears that just love to eat little sheep. In many ways, sheep herding there is much more like sheep herding on the Navajo Nation in the southwest of the U.S., where I'm from. Here in this high desert plateau, it's often actually the grandmas, the Navajo Shema, who herd the sheep. They spend their days outside in the hot sun and the wind. They're trying to find enough scrubby grass for the sheep to feed on. And in those places, there are mountain lions and coyotes to worry about. It is hard, dangerous work. And let me tell you, these grandmas are some really tough grandmas. So in that kind of a desert, where shepherding is dangerous and difficult, not this romantic image that we have, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And remember that as we're talking about this, we're talking about a parable of leadership. And Jesus is saying here, I am so committed to my sheep, I'm willing to die for them. I love my sheep so much that I will face any danger to protect them. I love my sheep, and I value them more than my own profit, more than my own safety, more than even my own life. Verses 11 to 13, Jesus has contrasted himself with the hired hand. I'll read those verses again. Verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man runs away because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. Well, the hired hand, he doesn't own the sheep. He's not as committed to them, right? At the first sign of danger, he's running away. He cares nothing for the sheep. Well, who does Jesus have in mind here in this parable? Well, I think in his own time, Jesus was probably referring to some of the Jewish religious leaders, the priests and Pharisees, who were supposed to lead and shepherd the people of Israel, but they had failed in their duty. They had put themselves, their own interests, in gaining power and prestige, over caring for the flock entrusted to them by God. I think if we take a step back and think about our context for today, Jesus is warning us about leaders, any leaders, but especially spiritual leaders, who don't truly care for their flock, who put their own interests ahead of those who they're supposed to lead and care for. And sadly, there are way too many examples of that, I think, in the church today. Figures like Ravi Zacharias or Mark Driscoll, who use their power, their influence as spiritual leaders to abuse people, to take advantage of others, emotionally abuse and intimidate their followers. Or we might think of some sort of egregious examples of megachurch pastors who demand private jets and live lavish lifestyles at the church's cost. Now, these kinds of things, of course, can happen on a much smaller scale. This is not just big churches and organizations. It happens in local churches. in nonprofit organizations. It can happen in homes, where there are attitudes of entitlement, abuse of power and position to get your way, and a me-first attitude that disregards others and their needs. To all of those who have been hurt by these kinds of leaders, especially in the church, Jesus grieves with you. This is not the way of Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd who we can trust with our whole lives. He invites us to follow him, to learn from his example of leadership, and to be won over by his gentle love, his care, his commitments. As I mentioned earlier, when Jesus compares himself to a shepherd, he's following in a long tradition in the Bible of this image of a shepherd as a leader of God's people. David and Moses were actual shepherds, but they were also called shepherds of God's people. And sometimes God speaks of himself as a shepherd, right? Psalm 23 that we had read earlier by Josie so well is probably the most famous example of that. But another passage that speaks of God as a shepherd is Ezekiel chapter 34. And in this chapter, God condemns harshly the bad leaders, the corrupt leaders of Israel, who had taken advantage of the people. And he promises instead to shepherd the people himself. Listen to these words from Ezekiel chapter 34, starting at verse 2. This is what the sovereign Lord says: "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. For this is what the sovereign Lord says: I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." Well, you may be interested to know that this very passage, Ezekiel 34, would have been read in the synagogues and the temple at this very time when Jesus is talking about being a good shepherd. John 10, verse 22 tells us that it was the Feast of Dedication, also known as Hanukkah. Kids, how many of you guys here, you can raise your hands here, have heard of Hanukkah? Celebration here? Okay. A few. All right, we got a little bit of educating to do here. That's okay. Does anyone know or can guess how many candles are on the menorah, the kind of candlestick for Hanukkah? Did I hear 9 over there? Yes, 9 is correct. I gave the wrong answer in the first service, which is pretty embarrassing. I said 8. But there are actually 9. You can count them up there. And I'll tell you a little bit more about why that is. You see, this festival, the Feast of Dedication, it commemorated an event that happened between the time of the Old Testament and the New Testament, where a Jewish leader called Judas Maccabeus overthrew the occupying forces in Jerusalem. And after he'd done that, he rededicated the temple of God to the worship of the true God. And in this story, his one-day supply of lamp oil miraculously lasted for 8 days, which is why the menorah has the 8 sort of additional candles or lights, plus a central one that's used to light those 8. So at this festival, the Festival of Dedication, Ezekiel 34 would be read. It would be read as a rebuke to corrupt leaders and as this reminder to the people of Israel that one day, God would come and he would be their shepherd and lead his people. And here's Jesus, at the time of the Feast of Dedication, boldly claiming to be, "I am." To be the good shepherd who searches for the lost, who brings back the strays, who binds up the injured and strengthens the weak, as God had promised. A shepherd who truly cares for the flock, who's willing to give his life for them. As Jesus' original audience, I think, would have recognized here, Jesus was essentially claiming to be divine. He's claiming to be God. And no wonder, this caused some controversy. Verses 19 to 21, which we didn't read earlier, just gives the reaction of many in the crowd. Imagine yourself in the crowd hearing Jesus say this. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed. He's raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I wonder, friends, when we hear Jesus claim to be the Good Shepherd today, what's our reaction? Are we willing to accept him as our leader, to trust him with our lives, to follow him? Or are we offended by his exclusive claims to divinity? Do we think he's raving mad? If we want to follow Jesus, it also means we need to be discerning about the earthly leaders we follow, particularly in the church. Are they leaders who draw us closer to God and point us to Jesus? Does their leadership line up with the character of Jesus? Not all leaders are worthy of devotion and loyalty. Commentator Gary Burge says, all other leaders must be tested against Jesus' leadership. This is a high bar, right? One that none of us can really truly achieve fully. It's certainly something, though, I hope that we as pastors and leaders in this church are striving for. And it's also something that we need to be held accountable for. Some of you might be wondering, okay, well, if Jesus as the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he won't be much use to them, right? To put it very bluntly, a dead shepherd is no good to his sheep. Well, listen again to Jesus' words in verse 17 to 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Jesus, he gives up his life of his own accord, his own will. He takes it up again. He alone has the authority given to him by his heavenly Father. And Jesus here is pointing forward, right? Pointing forward to Good Friday, to the sacrificial death that he will die on the cross. The death for the sins of the whole world, for my sin and for yours, for all of the pain and the brokenness that we cause, and for all the pain and the brokenness that we suffer as well. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And his death on the cross is the ultimate proof of his love. But it's not the end, because after 3 days, he rose again to conquer sin and death. Death could not hold him. And now his resurrection, his being alive, gives us also access to eternal life, to life to the full. Friends, he is the door. He is the way. He is the life. And his death is not in vain. It's the victory that overcomes the world and death and evil. As the refrain from the old hymn, Man of Sorrows, says, hallelujah, what a savior. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who we can trust with our whole lives because he has conquered death. Now, the word good here can also be translated as beautiful. Maybe that helps you just think about this image that you've heard a lot of times in a different way. Jesus is the beautiful shepherd, not because of his good looks, but because of the power of his love, the beauty of his love, the strange, compelling power of his love, as Jesus puts it. As N.T. Wright puts it about Jesus. Well, we've looked at the first reason for Jesus' love, Jesus knowing his sheep and his claim to be the good shepherd. We're going to look at how he repeats that claim in John 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know my Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, let's talk now about how Jesus knows his sheep, his intimate knowledge of us. Okay, kids, hopefully you're still paying attention a little bit here. If not, you can wake up. I have another question for you to think about. When you are scared or worried, when you have a tough question, who do you turn to? Hopefully it's someone that you know really well, right? Someone whom you trust, who loves you, your parents, maybe a grandparent or a teacher. And maybe when you come to them and you're feeling scared or worried, they give you a hug, right? And their familiar voice and their presence comforts you. Adults, I wonder how you might answer that question. Who do you go to in times of trouble and fear? Who do you go to for guidance and direction in your life? A spouse, a friend, a counselor? Who are the voices in your life that you know that you trust, that you follow. I think these days, many of us follow the voices of podcasters and influencers. We get advice on all kinds of things, from nutrition to spirituality to vaccinations, from TikTok and YouTube. There are a lot of voices out there. And in the midst of all that noise, all those voices, Jesus is inviting us and asking us to listen to his voice. Verses 1-5 from last week's message, Jesus talks in more detail about how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. They recognize his voice, and they will only follow the true shepherd. I am told that in the Middle East and perhaps other parts of the world, shepherds still lead their sheep in this way. They play a simple tune or they sing a little song which the sheep recognize. It's like this code, right, that connects the sheep and the shepherd. They learn to trust that tune, that voice, and they follow it. I read a great story in one of the commentaries I was using to prepare for this morning that illustrates this point. And this is a story that happens in the land of Jesus, in Israel and Palestine, but contemporary, maybe a couple of decades ago. And the context is this conflict, ongoing conflict between Israel and Palestine. In this particular account, the Israeli army had gone in and they had occupied a village in Palestine as punishment for this village, because this village was not paying its taxes. And so to punish them, they had gotten all the sheep from all the villagers there together and kind of put them in a big enclosure, a big corral, as a way of removing their livelihood, essentially, from them until they would pay their taxes. Well, one bold, brave woman went up to the Israeli army commander, a Palestinian woman, and she said, I'm a widow. I have no other recourse to provide for my family. Will you please let me have my sheep back? And the Israeli commander, army commander, sort of laughed, and you know, he's looking at these hundreds of sheep that they've got gathered together with no tags on or anything like that, and he's thinking like, okay, lady, if you can choose your sheep out of this group, I will let you have them. She said, okay, let me come back in just a few minutes. She went and got her son, and he came back, and he had a little tune, a pipe, and he played just a super simple tune. And one by one, these different sheep started to come from this mass of sheep and follow the tune and walked out of the door. And the Israeli commander couldn't help but just let these sheep go, you know. She had called out, her son, the shepherd, had called out the sheep that were theirs. The sheep know and trust the shepherd's voice. I don't know about you, but I can't tell sheep apart, and I doubt they would listen to my voice. By the way, I was preaching on this passage about 8 years ago at our Yorkson campus, and I asked there if anyone could tell sheep apart, you know, sort of a rhetorical question. And someone actually raised their hand and was like, yes, I can tell sheep apart. She had grown up on a sheep farm on Vancouver Island. She's like, yes, of course, I know all my sheep. I can tell them apart. A good shepherd knows his sheep, and Jesus knows his sheep. He knows us. He knows each one of us here. Each one of you personally. He knows your name and he sees you. He knows how you're wired, your passions, your talents. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows your fears and your failures too, the things that you wish you could change about yourself. He knows your weaknesses, the things that you wish you could hide from others. He knows you better than you even know yourself. He knows all of you, and he loves you. Jesus is the good shepherd, friends, who we can trust with our whole lives because he knows us. And Jesus knows us, and he wants us also to know him, not just in a sort of superficial way about knowing about him, but in the close, intimate way that Jesus and the Father know and love each other through the Spirit. It's the closest possible union that we can imagine. And that's what Jesus desires for us. As we follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we learn to recognize his voice. We learn to recognize it as we read scripture and we hear his voice in scripture. We learn to hear his voice as we pray and as we take time to listen in our prayer to his response. We learn to hear his voice as we spend time in community with other sheep who are following the shepherd together. And we get more and more in tune with his voice so that when he calls us, we're ready to follow. And when we're lost on our own and we hear that voice, we're drawn to it and we follow it again. And part of that process for us might mean getting rid of some of the other voices in our lives, right? Turning off that podcast or that TV show that doesn't align with Jesus and his voice. Friends, as we close today, maybe you are feeling like a lost sheep out in the desert of Palestine. You're thirsty, scared, desperate for water, for food, a safe place to rest, a voice you can trust. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leaves the 99 to go and look for you. Whatever desert you are walking through in your life right now, whatever dangers you're facing, hear the invitation of the Good Shepherd. Follow me. I will give you rest. My rod and my staff will comfort and protect you. You're safe with me. I'll provide for you. I will strengthen you and I will hold you close to my heart. Friends, if any of that resonates with you, the prayer team would love to pray with you, either up front here by the stage or in the prayer room at the back. If there's anything else that you are carrying this morning that you would like prayer for, please come forward and be prayed for or head to the back. We'd love to pray with you. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who we can trust with our whole lives. Kids, youth, grown-ups, he's the beautiful shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He's the trustworthy leader we long for, the leader who knows us each by name, and he cares for us. He invites us to follow him and hear his voice of love. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for your words of life that are life for us today here. We thank you that you are a good shepherd who draws us near by your voice, who cares for us. Jesus, I want to pray this morning for any friends of mine in this room here who need you especially as a shepherd. Perhaps they're feeling weak and injured. God, and you want to hold them close to yourself. You want to bind them up and strengthen them. God, for those who are feeling lost, who may feel like they've wandered far from you, I thank you that you go out to look for them and you search for them. You bring them back to your sheepfold. God, may they hear your voice. May they hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling to them. God, for all of us in our lives, in our families, in our work, in school, help us to hear your voice and to follow you. Amen.